It is 9:11 here on your Monday morning, and we're in the new month, and we're back on the phone with David John, the CEO of War Memorial Hospital. And Dave, here we go into a new month, and how are things looking as far as from your last update a couple weeks ago?
We're looking much better, Mark. We're seeing less positive cases through our testing, and you know, there's a lot of other places that test now in Chippewa County. So when you look mm-hmm. at the numbers overall, we're trending in a good direction. Last week we only added 46 new cases, so that was down from 73 the week before, and down from, I think we had a high of 127 during the week of March 27th. So
right.
it's trending in the right direction.
Sure.
Because of the trending of lower positivity rates, there's also a trending of lower hospital admissions. And right now we only have two COVID positive patients in the hospital, which is down from a high of nine, during this last sort of surge that happened end of March through, say middle of April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last time we talked, it sounded like, I think there was like six or seven in, when we were talking, and there was quite a few, I think there's three or four in ICU the last time we talked. So that's great that's trending in that direction.
Yeah, we actually at the high point had five in ICU,
right.
So it's gone down nicely, and you know, hopefully we'll see that trend continue. I mean, you know, if we look at last year, this is about the time things started to go down, and summer hit, and it was pretty good through the summer, and then you know, the fall it kicked back up again. So who knows what the future has
mm-hmm.
in store for us, but right now it's looking okay.
Well, the one other thing that we have, I guess, going for us now is that the vaccines, people are getting the vaccines. Last time we talked, you said you were sitting on a good stockpile of vaccines. People were maybe not, everybody who wanted them had kind of gotten them. Are you starting to see more people stepping up and getting vaccinated since the last time we talked?
No, we actually, are seeing a lot of vaccine just sitting on the shelf, and it's concerning because we know only 33% of our county is vaccinated right now. So there's a long way to go to get to that herd immunity. And I know people have a choice, and I would never take their choice away from them. But you know, you don't get to herd immunity until you're 70%. And so, you know, if we look at, say, 33% of our community is vaccinated, and let's say, you know, no more than 5% of our community has actually had COVID, maybe 10 at the most. I mean, if you looked at 3,000 cases and 38,000 in the community, so let's say we'll go to the high end of 10%, so that's 43% of our community is either protected through a vaccination or potentially protected through the antibodies they mm-hmm. created when they had COVID. That's still a long way from 70, and
sure.
you aren't going to get rid of the virus until you get to 70% immunity. And you know, so basically, I think the experts now are saying that the people that are anti-vaccination are actually holding us back from getting to herd immunity, so we can reopen sooner. And you know, they listed, about 10 different vaccinations that we've had in the past that at some point, we were in the same point. Like when the polio vaccine came out, how many people were hesitant about getting the polio vaccine? But until everybody got vaccinated, we didn't eradicate polio.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the measles, same with the mumps. Not that they're eradicated, but they're a whole lot less common now than they were back then.
Sure.
And so until we get to that herd immunity, you know, we can expect the virus to continue to impact people and potentially mutate like it always does, and those sort of things.
And the other thing that is concerning is we've talked before, and we've talked with the health department about how many different agencies right now and recently have been acquiring vaccines, the hospital, the health department, Bay Mills Tribe, Sioux Tribe, and everything. You know, we've got a lot of vaccine here in Chippewa County, which has been great, you know, but the frustrating thing is at some point, you're going to have to, and we talked to the health department last week, you're not going to let that those vaccines go to waste. At some point, you're going to say, okay, we've got to send these somewhere where they're going to be used. And my concern is that, you know, if people wait too long to get the vaccine, you know, because they're thinking, oh, we've got so much vaccine here in town, we don't need to worry about it, we'll get it when we want to. And I didn't even mention the pharmacies like Walgreens and Meijer and Rite Aid. They've got vaccines too. You know, people are going to be like, you know, I want to get the vaccine now. And like, well, where were you when we had the big stockpile?
Right, right. Well, and, you know, the first 3-4 months, the vaccine was, you know, more precious than gold. And so you didn't want to waste any.
Sure.
And, you know, what everybody's looking at now is that there's going to be waste of vaccine coming up just because of that, because expiration dates will happen and people not wanting the vaccine and that sort of thing. And what's amazing is, you know, that we're a mile away from Canada, and you know they're shut down, and they've got all kinds of people clamoring for the vaccination,
sure,
and they can't get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got a lot of Canadian employees here at War Memorial who have received their vaccination, but they're really worried about their family members who can't get the vaccination over in Canada.
Right,
and you know we're trying to find a way where they can come over here and get the vaccination. And,
sure,
you know, because in Canada, they're only given one dose. They're not given two.
Mm-hmm.
Their theory is, you know, we'll be 70% protected if we give one dose. So get one dose to more people first. And we did have, it was interesting. And if you want to know how much better it is over here than across the border, we had one of our staff members who's sister is a U.S. citizen, lives in Canada, married a Canadian, had one shot but wanted two. She was able to come over here to get their second shot.
Mm-hmm.
But on the way back, you know, she had no problem crossing into the U.S.
Right.
Because she's a U.S. citizen.
Mm-hmm.
But on the way back, she at the Canadian border, she was stopped. And had to return to the U.S. to get a COVID test. The border would not allow her in until she had a negative COVID test.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to go to the Lake State Clinic, make an appointment, wait an hour and a half to get the test, had to pay $50 out of her own pocket,
mm-hmm,
then went back over with the proof of the vaccine and a negative COVID test,
mm-hmm,
and was given two more tests to take home and send in via Purolator, which is a courier service.
Right.
So she had to do one when she got home, and she couldn't just do it. She had to queue into a Zoom call and do it in front of somebody who was watching her take the swab,
mm-hmm,
watching her put it in the bag. She was number 800 in the queue, so how long did that take before,
sure,
she got up to the queue?
Right.
And now she has to do another one in 8 days, and during this time, she is quarantined at home for 14 days, cannot leave her yard, and has to call and check in every day. And if she violates it, she faces a huge fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what's happening in, a mile away from us in Sioux, Ontario. And, you know, people that want the vaccine want to get out of that type of quarantine, that type of isolation, and can't get it, yet we have so many people here who have the vaccine at their fingertips, and for whatever reason, they're not getting it.
Yeah, and again, the longer they wait, I think the harder it's going to be to get it, because I think there's going to be less and less, you know, quantities of it in the community, because it's going to be harder to get, because they say, well, we sent you so much and you didn't use it, we're not going to send you as much or hardly any anymore because you're not,
right,
you're not using it.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, you know, we've all heard, and, you know, this is so new still, you know, that we're probably going to need boosters. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, they're looking at the research and the data right now that says, you know, you're probably protected for 6 months. And so what happens once we start coming up on the 6 months where everybody's been vaccinated and they all need boosters?
Right.
I mean, you'll use the vaccine then, but what about the people who haven't had the vaccine, you know, before?
Sure.
Will they be able to get in line and get the vaccine? Will we need an annual booster? More than likely, probably yes, but you know, that hasn't been determined yet. But you know, the one thing that we can say, you know, from the last 6 months or 5 months when we've had the vaccine, is that it is safe, it is effective. I think we've only had one person admitted to the hospital who was positive after the COVID vaccine, and they weren't here for COVID. Mm-hmm. They were here for an orthopedic procedure, and right. They had no symptoms. So to me, excuse me, that vaccine worked, because even though they were positive for COVID, they had no symptoms. And right. So it's you know, like they've said, it's 99% effective from preventing hospitalizations and 100% effective in preventing death. So people still have their choice. There's a lot of things that can kill you, you know.
Sure.
Smoking can kill you, but there's people that
Driving to work can kill you for
smoke.
Sure, but
yeah,
I mean
driving to, right,
you know, but
right.
you still get in your car and you drive to work. So I mean, it's like you know, if you're worried that this vaccine is going to be you know dangerous or whatever, I mean, think of all the other dangerous things that you do in life, you know, and you take a risk.
Yeah.
At you know, and so a lot of people don't like to wear their seatbelts, but you know, you take a risk at not doing that, you know, doing that not so
right. Right.
I just hope that, like you say, there are people that aren't going to get the vaccine, and those aren't the people we're talking to. We're talking to the people that are thinking about it, that are, yeah, I'm probably going to get the vaccine, you know, I just kind of waiting. Well, you know, I'm worried about those people, because I'm worried that there's going to be, you know, not the vaccine available. You think right now we've just got this glut, oh, I'll get it when I can, and then there's not going to be, I'm just worried, I mean, that there's not going to be the vaccine there when they want to get it.
Right. Right, and you're taking a chance at that, and you know they'll say, well, you know, it's even if you don't have a vaccine, only you know 1% or 2% of the people get hospitalized. That's probably true, but at the same time, how many of those people get sick enough where they die? And even if you don't die, how many have you know, extenuating health conditions because they had the virus? You know, how long is it going to take for your lungs to get back to normal, if ever?
Mm.
You know, now we have this disease that the virus causes in children. It's called multiple inflammatory syndrome in children, so MISC. And these are kids who had the virus, didn't necessarily have a whole lot of symptoms or anything, but have this multi-inflammatory disease now. And, you know, that's the big thing of getting children, you know, vaccinated so that they can protect from those type of things. I think last week they had the highest number of children in Michigan hospitals. I think it was 71 or something like that. And, I mean, if your child got that sick with it, you know, that would be very, very difficult on,
sure.
on a family. And so we're just trying to keep our community safe. We know there's people that don't believe in the vaccine, but there's nothing yet that has proven that it isn't effective and isn't safe.
And did I hear on the news this morning, have they actually approved one of the vaccines for younger people now? Was that something that the CDC did?
They're analyzing it right now. It's the Pfizer vaccine, mm-hmm. and they want to get emergency use down to 12 years old.
Okay.
So right now you can be 16 and over. They want to go down to 12 years old. And, you know, a lot of people, when they talk about why they're not getting the vaccine, well, it's approved for emergency use, and you know, for 2 years. So you know, we won't know for sure whether it's safe or effective for 2 years, because that's when the EAU comes off of it. Well, you know, after 6 months, 5 months, whatever it is, you know, I think we've proven already that mm-hmm. it's safe and effective. So I don't know why people would have to wait 2 years. I guess there's some that still think that, you know, a year or two from now, you're gonna grow a third arm, or you know, something else is gonna happen,
right.
And they're just not willing to take that chance.
Yeah, I know it's been six. I think I can't remember when Sharon got hers, because she works at the hospital, and she got hers in December, so she was one of the first people to get it there at the hospital, and she's been fine and probably coming up on it pretty soon. You know, to have to, if she's going to have to get a 6-month booster, it'd be one of the first people to have to do that too, because, you know, she was happy to get it the first time and was fine, you know. So, I mean, that's you know, I keep telling people, I had no adverse reactions to it. If that's your thing, you know, and even if you do have a little adverse reaction, the adverse reactions that people have had have been pretty mild. They've been nothing like what you would have if you had full-blown COVID.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, we just have to keep promoting it and, you know, keep giving the actual data. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if the actual data showed that, you know, a bunch of people were still being hospitalized after the vaccine, then I would report it, and then sure. I probably wouldn't have as much confidence in the data or the vaccine as I do right now. But, you know, we've from the start of the pandemic, we've had treated 116 patients who were positive with COVID. Obviously, you know, we didn't see our first one until July, so that was, you know, 3 or 4 months after the pandemic started, and we right. had only 2 in July and 2 in August and 2 in September. But, you know, we had a pretty high month in November and another one in April. So, and out of the 116 that we've treated for COVID symptoms, 0 had the vaccine.
Right.
So again, the first, you know, up through December, nobody had the opportunity to get the vaccine. So mm-hmm. we know all those didn't have the vaccine. But since December on, still all the admissions we've had, none of the patients had been vaccinated.
Huh. All right. Well, I guess we'll just keep beating the drum there until we can't beat it anymore, I guess. Any other updates you want to get to us, Dave?
We've got some new docs coming in.
Oh, good.
So people might be interested in that.
Sure.
You know, we have a new pain management specialist coming in. Dr. Michael Warren will start on May 24th. He will take over for Dr. Daha, who left us back in October.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new OBGYN, Dr. Kevin Sora, coming in September of this year. We're currently working on another OBGYN who could start this summer. He's finishing his residency right now. His name is Dr. Alex Amberg. We're also going to have a new orthopedic surgeon starting in August, Dr. Zachary Tan. And then cardiology, we're trying to ramp up our cardiology program here. We're a little light on cardiology, and we just found out that Dr. Sylvia Giroux, who used to work for us but went to work for UP Health System in Marquette, is now going to come back to work for us. I think she'll start sometime in August. We also have a physician assistant who has 18 years of cardiology experience coming to work for us in August. So, you know, I guess you'd say the one thing I've seen about the pandemic that has improved for us is our ability to recruit physicians and advanced practitioners. And I think some of it is because they're from areas that were highly impacted, like Detroit, New York, some of the places where you saw a big surge, and they look at rural and see that rural is pretty safe comparatively speaking, and I think they're wanting to move to rural, which is giving us a lot more access to physicians that we may not have had without the pandemic.
Gives them a new perspective, I guess, on the rural hospital, huh?
Right, yeah, for sure. You know, and they want to keep their family safe, and they don't want to have to go through. When the hospitals were being stretched thin and over capacity, and you know, watching, you know, bodies roll out every day, they'd rather be in a place where they know they're a little safer.
For sure. Well, that's good news. I mean, we'll take the good news where we can. That's great. I know the hospitals, you know, hard at work, you know, adding services and new physicians all the time, and so that's great to get that update. So, anything else before we let you go there, Dave?
No, I think that's it. Stay safe and keep vigilant, mm-hmm. and hopefully we can get rid of the masks and get back to totally normal soon.
Absolutely. And if you're, like I say, if you're on the fence, get off the fence and get your shot, all right? All right, David John, CEO of War Memorial Hospital, joining us again here. Thanks, Dave. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right, thanks, Mark.
All right.
Bye.
I'll check the weather and then back into the music on 1230 WSOL.